This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast, the Friday night preview show, because it is Friday and we are going to be previewing. And I am Stamford Chidge, and as ever, I'm joined by the fantastic Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
Did you receive my cheque? Is that why you're calling me fantastic?
I'm just feeling in a... I've had such a fucking week, mate, honestly. I'm absolutely exhausted, and it's... It's just really lovely to see your face and take me away from all of that.
We had a
drudgery.
Good in off the post during the week, didn't we?
We did, and I've been so busy, you know, since. I haven't been able to bloody post it up yet, so I shall get on with that tonight.
Because somebody said, is there an in off the post? They put a...
George. In them. Yeah. George wanting to know if his email's going to get read out. Well, he knows That's he will. Right. We always do. But yeah, anyway. How are you, old Bean?
Very good, thank you very much. Very good. I've had a week of laziness. I've just done... played a chipmunk in a video game, and
did I win?
Yeah, 1-2-0. Yeah. We played with acorns, and twigs for bats. Clayton, I bought a video game, cricket video game, in order to practice playing forward, because I've got a shoulder problem. Just to play forward defensive, to play straight, keep being bowled by a rather lanky Indian off spinner. Who is, of course, you know, a creation of the game.
But is his first name Lanky or something?
It's Sri Lanky, probably.
Oh, very good. Thank you,
but no, he's not. He's not. What else have we been doing? I've read a couple of books. I've been very lazy.
Oh, you bastard! I know. I'd kill for a week like that, playing a chipmunk.
But I always feel like, because I'm self-employed, I always feel that I'm not doing enough. Not doing enough. Okay. Because I've got these things to do. Got these men anyway. I've had a lovely time. Thank
good.
You very
much. We've had a little teaser already, but we have one of our favouritest guests on the show tonight, haven't we?
We have. Here's a clue. I won't do the strings. Yes, I will. That's enough of that. That's enough. Yes, here's, of course, the brilliant Clayton Bierman, the housewife's choice himself.
Hello. I've received a tweet on my birthday from Donal, and if he's listening, I do apologise that I didn't actually respond to your tweet, which was very funny. And he basically asked me how I'd become the housewife's choice and who chose me. And
where are the housewives?
Exactly. So it was... I don't know, but I'm now self-appointed, aren't I? So it's very nice. And yes, hello.
Well, Jack Clayton, hello. Lovely to see you. As always, it's absolutely always a delight to see you, mon ami. I think we should ask JK, because I think it was JK who named you the housewife's choice. So maybe he can enlighten us.
anointed me.
Anointed
it's
you.
Funny, isn't it? I remember finding having a story that you became the housewife's choice, but I've now forgotten where it came from. But
I don't know. Maybe somebody, one of our
somebody audience. Tweeted. I think yeah. somebody tweeted that you were clearly the housewife's choice, and that's when I, in a moment of appreciation.
Brilliant.
Yes. No, appreciation. You know that. Yeah, your fantastic moment. I thought that's what we must call him. So from now on, you've been tainted with that description. But also, I happen to know the tune as well. I'm sure they didn't know I knew the tune, and I'd bore everybody rigid, constantly singing the sodding song.
But that was a tune of our youth, wasn't it?
It was.
Speak for yourselves.
Was it Sundays or was it?
Yeah, Sundays. Yeah, Sunday morning. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there we go. A little bit of a history lesson for you young people like me out there. We got it's a slightly shortened show, two-parter tonight. Bit of a roundup of the Chelsea news and a few thoughts about Frank's presser, as always. And part two, we will be previewing the Chelsea versus Nottingham Forest game. So there you go. So kicking it all off, Frank's presser. Hands up who saw Frank's presser.
I didn't see it. But I read it.
Yeah, likewise. I didn't see it, but I read it. I was working, mate.
Football London, I think. They gave a verbatim report on the Q&A.
Yeah. Oh, see, where would we be, JK, without the utterly fantastic Brian Justman, who has posted on Mixlr to say, it was an email, wasn't it? Someone named Clayton is their favourite. I remember now, and you and I got very, very jealous. And took the piss, saying, "Ooh, housewife's choice." And then it all grew from there. Yeah, it's all coming back to me now.
Good.
There we go.
I knew it was some form of social media that had contributed to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. Anyway, I mean, I read the press. So I didn't see it, sadly. But I think the most there are a few things that came out of it for me. But the first one is the injuries. Chilwell and Matt. I mean, what was interesting was he kind of insinuated that they might even make it back for the last week of the season, as would Cucurella, and Koulibaly and Fofana are in training at the moment, but doubtful for tomorrow. So what do you think of that, Mr. Kidd?
Fofana's injuries worry me, because Fofana seems to be just as bad as James and Chilwell. So he comes in and very promising, and then we don't see him for a bit. But it has allowed Badiashil to come back in, revealing that he is rather a competent player, as we all knew. And Trevo played out of his skin against Bournemouth. So I'm not grieving that Fofana hasn't been playing, even though he is one for the future. But, you know, if he's got tin foil legs, we're a bit screwed if all of them, unless they suddenly find out that it was the fault of the inept medical staff, which I think people have been pointing the finger at. But I find these injuries to Chilwell, James, and indeed Fofana a little bit worrying, because you can't really cater for this, you know, five games and then you're out, and then you're out for a couple of months. That, to me, doesn't really smack of consistency. Mace, you know, will he be bothered to play him? He'll come on as a sub if he plays in the last game. Will anybody care about the last game? And will, you know...
Oh, if it's his last Chelsea game, we will.
Well, he will indeed, but do we know whether that's the case, or is the rule of thumb being...
Well, apparently Pochettino's already decided that Mount is his chosen man, even though we haven't apparently hired him yet. I saw your tweet. It made me laugh.
Good. Thank you very much. Yeah. I just find these statements on Twitter that what the manager has decided when nobody's been appointed... absolutely bizarre. And as usual, the clickbait, the fact that people come on and get annoyed by these statements or make really aggressive, have an aggressive reaction to it. It's just made up, mate. You know, what on earth? How can anybody have any knowledge of what is going on when nobody's been appointed? For fuck's sake. But yes, it makes more sense to me that what is happening at the moment is that if he's insisted on being or if they haven't bothered to work it out yet, he will then have to look at them in training. The old, ye old way of assessing whether a player is any good or not. So whether they then play better for him. He may have an idea, because one hopes he's been looking at the team if he is the man about to enter the fray.
I hope he's seen the videos, JK, because you will be very cross if he hasn't.
I will be bloody cross. I won't know whether he has or not, though, will I? There's the difference.
I'd love to see you in a press conference, mate, because I know what the question would be. Excuse me, Mr. Pochettino, I just wanted to ask, have you seen the videos? Have you watched them?
Did you ever watch Chelsea at all during the...
watch Chelsea last season?
Last season at all. But of course he will have done, because he'll have made a reasoned discussion in his pitch as to what he can do with the players.
You would hope.
Well, no, they must, surely. That's what you
exactly.
You would, surely.
All right. Clayton, he also talked about Lewis Hall. Now, as you may or may not know, JK and I talked a lot about Lewis Hall on Monday's show. I think we were both, I was certainly chanting for Lewis Hall when Chilwell came off, as a lot of the crowd were at Bournemouth.
Yeah, there were big chants.
Exactly, yeah. The reason I mention this is because there's an England under 20 squad that's been announced and going to Argentina for, I think it must be the World Cup. Teddy Sharman-Lowe, I love this guy's name, Basher Humphreys. It just conjures up so many, you know, frightening memories from school bullies. Basher Humphreys. Carney Chukwuemeka, the missing in action Carney Chukwuemeka, and Harvey Vale have all been called up to the England under 20 squad, as was Lewis Hall. But Frank has kept him back, which we also talked on Monday about, you know, he may come in for the injured Chilwell. So that all, and actually Frank was quite complimentary, saying he's kept him back because he thinks he's going to play him.
Well, he should do. It was very strange how he sort of disappeared off the scene after he had a very good spell in the team up to the World Cup. You can only assume that Mr. Potter basically took it upon himself to put Lewis back with the development squad because he had too many players, and it would have made his job even more difficult than it was at the time. So I can't actually argue with that, to be perfectly honest. I read the thing about the guys who might be back before the end of the season. I mean, what's the point? I mean, you know, what is the point? Why should they come back? The games don't matter. Their fitness does. And sort of trying to squeeze them back in, I think it's just absolute nonsense. I think just get these next four games out of the way and just sort of bin this season to history. Lewis Hall is very, very good. He was excellent in the games that he played before the World Cup. It's a problem, really. It's a problem because, as you know, he's a midfield player. I've seen the development squad quite a lot over the last couple of months, and he's a really quality player. I mean, it's a lovely problem, but we've got some fantastic players in that development squad. We really have. So it'd be quite interesting to see what happens. Given the four games to the end of the season, I mean, we're not going to lose anything because I suspect, as we will discuss, tomorrow is probably our last chance of getting anything of any notes from any of the games we've got left. It takes away a problem. Although I say that, there might be another problem created by the return of Mattson, who's had an excellent season with Burnley. So, but also I think it depends on what Lewis Hall wants to do. Does he want to be a left back or does he want to play in midfield?
Well, he's a midfielder, isn't he? But, you know, I think he, given the opportunity to play, he would surely take it up. JK, you were wanting to come in?
Did Lewis Hall not play against Fulham and played against City in the Cup?
He did play. I know he played against City. He played very well.
He played both games against City.
Post World Cup, weren't they? They were post World Cup. It wasn't.
No, pre. Weren't they?
No, post, because I was in Lanzarote.
Yeah, and they were. Okay, fine. Well, Brown's always played in January.
I've got confused.
He dumped him. Potter made a decision to dump him.
I think that has to be to do with the fact that he had a bloated squad. And if you can get rid of somebody from that bloated squad, irrespective of how
good they are.
I'm pretty sure they were pre-World Cups. Because if you think about it, the game against City in the FA Cup.
Third Cup. It's in January. Third round.
Oh, yeah. We had Hutchinson. He came in. Bashir Humphreys, who then went out on loan.
Thank God.
Yeah, we had an argument about that. Don't get
we did. We did. That's why I just said it then, Clayton.
Fight.
Okay, so yeah, I suspect that's what happened. Yeah.
The other thing if you've been watching the development squad, Fofana hasn't been playing for it, has he?
I've seen development squad with Fofana playing twice, and
he was substituted on both occasions.
He was bang average in both games. He really was. Now, whether that was an attitude thing, you know, like I'm better than this, I shouldn't be, what have you, and if so, then that's not really excusable. But both the games that I saw him, last year, I think it was the beginning of last season, Lewis Baker was playing for the development squad. And you could tell that this was a player who was just being, you know, kept fit to sell. There was nothing there. He looked better than most. And I think it's really, really difficult when you're that sort of player, you know, because you're not trying to prove anything to anybody. You know you can do it. He looked a class above anybody else on the pitch, but he also looked, and with all due deference and respect to him, he looked like he couldn't be asked. And I can't blame him. You know, it was unfortunate. And I think that's what happens. You would have thought that I can't remember the games. I mean, they've had a fairly decent season, but I don't think I've seen them win. Or maybe I did see them win once. But Fofana, I thought great, because I thought this guy's going to boss it. He didn't. Showed a couple of nice touches, and that was it.
Because apart from that, I don't know where he's played. He hasn't played for anybody, has he?
No.
After that, because a couple of people have been quoting him as being somebody who must play. And I thought, well, if he hasn't been playing for either of the development squad or anybody, all he's been doing is training. He's not really going to get in if he's not training very well.
No, he looked ordinary. I mean, I don't wish to be unkind, but he looked ordinary in both those games.
That makes sense to me is why he hasn't figured at all under Frank, hasn't been even considered under Frank.
Well, moving from the very, very young to the very, very old, and no, I'm not talking about Clayton and JK here.
My very vitals, my very, very vitals.
Oh, methinks she doth protest too much. Right. Yes. All right. No, going to the other end of the spectrum, really, because, I mean, Frank was asked and was, you know, typically non-committal, obviously. But there was, I think, an interview with Sky Sports where Kante looked quite keen to stay at Chelsea, in spite of the fact that he hasn't signed his contract, which will run out, I think, a year hence. And then I've also read an article in the Telegraph saying that Silva may well want to go back to Fluminense, his boyhood club, who treated him very, very well when he had TB back in 2006. So he's often stated he wants to go back to Brazil to finish his illustrious career there. I just wanted to know what you think about that. Would you be happy to see Conte stay? And would you be sad to see Silva go, Clayton?
Okay, Kante, I'd like to stay. I know a lot of people think that he's had his day, but I think he's still got a lot to offer, especially if he's got decent players around him. I think he makes people around him better. So I think if we offer him a year with an option to extend, I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, obviously, a lot of this depends on who's going to come in. Because the talk is that Cover's going to go. And to be honest with you, I think he's had a really average season.
Adios. So
I wouldn't be upset.
It's dreadful, Clayton. Dreadful.
I'm being diplomatic. I thought he had a decent, you know, he played very well in the World Cup, which was obviously
very well. And he played very well against Leicester.
Yeah, not a huge help to us. I'd like him to stay. As for Thiago, he's one of the best players I've ever seen play for Chelsea. Of that, there is no doubt. He's just He's a Rolls Royce footballer. He's absolutely fantastic. I would be extremely sorry to see him go, but if he wants to, then that's fair enough. My only slight doubt about that is, where would then be the experience? I mean, we've read the reports that Koulibaly might be going straight back to Italy after this year. Although, ironically, I thought his best spell of the season has been when Thiago was out. I thought he actually stepped up and looked pretty good. And interestingly, you were talking about Badiashile earlier on, and Badiashile always looks twice the player when he's playing next to Thiago. Always. When he first came in, first four or five games, he looked fantastic. When Thiago hasn't been next to him, I think he's struggled slightly. Listen, if we lose both of them, I don't think that's a massive blow. I think the one thing that we don't see and we don't ever really appreciate, and I think this is, and I hate to use this swear word because I know a lot of people don't like him, but I think, you know, you lose Jorginho at the dressing room. I think he was a big person in the dressing room. And I think that Thiago Silva's probably a huge person in the dressing room. And I think Kante is just, I think, loved by everybody that goes anywhere near him. I think the big fear with letting Kante go is that he's still got a couple of good years left in him. So there we go.
Yeah. JK, what say you?
Just to take up what you said about Jorginho, it was really interesting at the Newcastle game. I watched Arsenal Newcastle, where I found myself rooting for Arsenal just because Newcastle was so. I know, I can't believe I did it, Chidge.
Wash your mouth out.
I know. But I just, on the day, it was interesting to see Jorginho giving them all a pep talk.
Yeah. He's a leader. Whatever else we say about him.
He was doing the chat.
He was fantastic against Newcastle.
He was absolutely fantastic. I agree. I think Kante has exactly that, 2 years in him. And I think they would be foolish to let him go. I think he needs to be part of whoever the manager is, presuming it's going to be Pochettino. Wouldn't it be just Chelsea to discover that it's Nagelsmann after all? Nagelsmann.
Well, he's no longer going to Spurs.
Indeed.
Indeed, he probably never was.
No, indeed, he probably never was. And the chances are that this business about Silva may be a complete load of bollocks as well. But if we were to lose, just speculating, if we were to lose Silva, it would solve a problem just from because we have an overdose of centre-halves. It's interesting to see whether Colwell plays. I notice he's not playing for Brighton at the moment, but he's clearly a very bright prospect indeed. And you think you've then got him, Badiashile, and if Koulibaly were to stay, because he's on such an intricate contract, I agree completely. He played much better on his own. I agree absolutely with you, Clayton, that Badiashile was really ropey when Silva wasn't playing. And every time that Silva has played with him, he's looked absolutely excellent. But, you know, in the end, you can't really rely on a 38-year-old who may get injured for half the season. Which, because he's been picking up injuries as well.
It's 39 now, isn't it?
It's 39. It's a tricky one because I agree with you completely. He is a fabulous player, Silva, and has been a completely superb centre-half. But to me, it creates a benchmark for the type of player that the team ought to be buying and ought to have been buying over the past few years when you get somebody where you go, yes, he's an unbelievably excellent player. Why hasn't the club been buying unbelievably excellent players? Even, you know, just in their 30s or just a couple in their 30s.
Oh, well, they had that mad policy, didn't they, under Marina?
Yeah,
Marina.
Yeah.
You know, I'm with you two boys, really. I think Kante's, I mean, you know, okay, the worry with Kante, as ever, is, you know, he might get injured. But then any player might get injured. I mean, look at Chilwell and Mount and James, for God's sake. But I think qualitatively, his legs haven't gone. I'd give him a couple of years. I'd love to see him stay. And I think more importantly, as you were both saying, you know, I see him being a quiet leader in the dressing room. Silva's a bit more complicated, isn't it? I mean, he is a different gravy as a player. I absolutely love the bones out of him. And I don't have a problem with his age. If he can still do it, then that's fine. I mean, we're all us three are beginning to get our heads into the cricket season. And a certain James Anderson, I suspect, will be leading the attack for England against the dreadful, dire, dastardly Aussies. He's 40. So, you know, if you're good enough, doesn't matter how old you are. But I think the complication is kind of what you've all been saying. We have got not a dearth of centre-backs. We have a glut of centre-backs. Isn't that right, JK?
Yes, the dearth was used indeed by another well-known podcast.
Podcasts are available.
Other available. Yes, they are. You happen to see. But this one is of the North American variety.
The ones confused by the English language.
Yes, exactly. Indeed. It's difficult. Perhaps it means something different in America.
Maybe. I mean, fanny means something different in America.
Indeed, it does. It does.
As
yes.
does fag. But let's not go down that route.
Yeah, let's not go.
Anyway, you know, the bottom line is we do have a glut of centre-backs, but what we don't have a glut of is massive experience. And I think, for me, if Silver goes, you keep Koulibaly. If Silver stays, you let Koulibaly go. But you need somebody to be leading the defence, to be organising things. And I think that's exactly what Silver does. He's brilliant at it. And can you imagine Levi Colwill learning from Thiago Silva? I mean, it's just joyous. I mean, we've said this before on this show in the past, haven't we? It reminds me very much when we had Marcel Desailly in his final days at the club and a young John Terry coming through. And there's no doubt in my mind that playing with Marcel Desailly made JT a much better centre-back and possibly contributed hugely to the great player that he became. So, you know, I think if we can keep... I tell you what, if it was a choice between Silver and Koulibaly, I would choose Silver. Without a doubt. So there you go. Anyway, talking of Thiago, I do believe, Clayton, that there is a lovely banner, a Thiago Silva banner that will be wafting... I suspect it'll be a crowd surfer, actually, wafting across the Matthew Harding Lower tomorrow, which will be lovely for us to see, won't it?
It will be lovely, and will obviously also wind up particular sections of our mad fan base as to why he's got one and such hasn't had one and this, that and the other. So, yeah.
Isn't Felix got one?
Yeah, you just wait for it, don't you? You just think of somebody who hasn't had one, who's been at the club longer, etc. Anyway, yes, it will be nice. I love these guys who do this. I think it's great. I think it's brilliant.
Completely brilliant. I agree. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, we're privileged. We're privileged to know them very well, and they do a fine job, and I love them for it. And I mean, I know that they ignore the stick that they get because they know it's not worth the paper it's written on. According to our very knowledgeable people in Mixlr, Colwill. So what are you saying? I don't know what they're saying, actually, whether he's injured or not. I don't know who they're talking about. So I should butt out of their conversation.
He was sub at the weekend when they lost to Everton. He came on.
I think that De Zerbi's been mixing up the team quite a lot recently. I think he's been resting players because I think he rested loads of players when they actually humped Wolves 6-0. And then he brought some back. So I wouldn't read too much into that.
I think Leaf's saying that he will play tomorrow. So there we go. Right. Kind of just to wrap up things in part one. We many of us, particularly those of us who are involved with the Chelsea Sports Trust, have been, you know, hammering into the club for most of the season about, you know, do not increase the season ticket prices because of the cost of living crisis. You know, people are really feeling the pinch. And this is irrespective of anything that has been going on the pitch, I hasten to add. Even if we'd have won the Champions League, the FA Cup and the League and the League Cup, we would have been saying the same thing because the cost of living crisis is very real and a lot of people are finding times very, very tough. So I'm therefore absolutely delighted that the club have heeded, not just us, by the way. I mean, you know, all the supporters groups, Chelsea Supporters Group, Chelsea Sports Club, they've all been, you know, hammering the same message. But it appears that the club have listened, and there has been a price freeze on the general admission season ticket prices. And as a consequence, I signed up again for another year. Another year as a Chelsea season ticket holder. So I'm going to bed block gate 17 for another year. And I'm highly delighted by that. I do want the cynical side of me, Clayton, says that they've done it because they just know that they'd have been hung, drawn and quartered, you know, having basically fucked this season right up. And let's be honest, a lot of this is down to the board. So they've kind of like done it to avoid any negatory publicity. But what do you think? You happy?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. And they deserve credit for doing it, but I think it's irrelevant what their reasons are, to be perfectly honest. They've done it and that's the end of it. I think it's quite funny that in all the bad publicity that we always get, it's never really been sort of hung out there that was it 12 years our season ticket hasn't gone up. 12 years, which
one,
is
once in 13, I think.
Okay, well, it's pretty amazing, and I don't think that rise wasn't particularly hefty, was it, when it did happen. So I do think it's great. I think it's really good. But there is a downside, as you will now tell us.
Well, I mean, you know, I by the way, I agree with you. Actually, the club do need commending for not rising them and freezing them again, because let's face it, they can do what they like. They don't have to. If they could have shoved it up by... I mean, the interesting thing, by the way, just to give you some context, is that it was very heavily mooted slash rumoured that... before the sanctions came in, and by the way, when the sanctions came in February, that's the kind of, well, actually the club start thinking about increasing the prices before that, from what I remember about negotiations with them, but they probably would have issued that in about April or May, and of course it was completely scuppered by the sanctions, so they couldn't do anything. But it was rumored at the time that they were going to whack them up, and we were thinking they might go up by as much as 20%, which is a huge hike. But we were really, so I mean, I pay £880 for my season ticket, as does Clayton. So I was expecting to pay over a grand or about a grand for mine, which would have been horrible. But weirdly, the sanctions kind of got in the way of that. But this is not a universal freeze, because there are members of our Chelsea community who are very important. And one of them is sitting directly in front of me now, to whom this does not apply, does it, JK? The corporates are getting a hefty... Are they getting a hefty whack? Well, I've heard it's below inflation, which is some sort of kind of soft-soaping it, I suppose. But what's the score? What's the score with you boys?
It's gone up about £700.
Fucking hell. Yeah. That, I mean, that has gone up by almost the price of my season ticket.
Yeah.
But what do you get for that?
A lot of love.
I don't know if I pay that much for a lot of love, mate. I mean, you get away. I mean, you don't. We see, when we pay for a season ticket, nor us lot, we basically just pay for 19 games, which is your league games.
Yeah, I don't get an away ticket with that. No, I don't. I don't get that's part of the price. No, I get.
So that's on top then, the away season ticket.
Yeah. And that's just, you know, I get concessions. So what is it? It's £30 a game. So.
Oh yeah.
But no, one of the advantages is you get, you know, you get an opportunity to purchase every away ticket you can get. You're not having to scrabble about for them, which is great. Sorry, scrabble's the wrong way of expressing it. You're not going through the normal channels. You have access.
Yeah, no virtual waiting room for you, mate.
No, I'm sorry. I apologise. I feel a bit.
Mate, I don't use it either. I just ask mates.
Yes, indeed. Well, funnily enough, there are lots of mates who then say they don't want to use theirs either.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work it out. Perhaps I'm being overdue. It's good. 500, perhaps it is. But it's anyway. It's gone up regardless. But it's the advantages are I'm in a seat which you've been in, Chid, where I'm on the halfway line practically with the best view in the ground in the East Stand. Which yeah, is
well, you're in the old director's
next to the old director's.
It is without doubt the best seat that I've ever sat in
at Stamford
at
Bridge.
Chelsea. It's extraordinarily good. When I went to the Barcelona home, the women's game, I sat in the front row, but right at the other end of the East Stand, which was a very good seat as well. But no,
they all are. Yeah, they all are there.
Fabulous.
But it was something, you know, that I always tell you the history of doing it. I was East Stand upper, and I always thought the seats down below me are the best. I want to sit there. So I applied 30 years ago and couldn't get seats near the front and worked my way down. They were the same price, but just worked my way down from availability. So I'm now in the second row. And I love going. You get a meal as well, which I have to say isn't essential for me. I rather prefer to watch the football. But that's part of it. But it's a price I'm willing to pay, because I have no other vices. I have no, don't drink, don't smoke, you know, never go out anywhere. In fact, I'm such a sad fucker. All I do is watch Chelsea. That's my only.
Adam Ant wrote a song about you.
Which one? The Highwayman song. Which one was?
No, you're not a dandy highwayman, okay, mate. Goody Two Shoes. Don't drink, yeah, don't smoke. What do you do? Don't drink, don't
smoke.
Yeah,
the people then have to make up, because that was about him. That was an autobiographical song, wasn't it?
Was he really? Yeah. Well, I forgot you knew him very well.
People used to think that I looked a bit like him for a period.
Oh God, yes, I suppose. Yeah,
when I was wearing my highwayman outfit.
Listen, old bean, just one thing to add to that. And by the way, actually, I've actually sat in the current director's seats in the front row when I kind of was smuggled into the director's lounge under false pretenses. And your seats are better because they're lower.
They're lower, and
I think nearer.
It's also that it's when they're further away because of health and safety. When the West Stand was built,
but they're nearer. They're nearer to the pitch than the current director's seats are in the West Middle.
Yes, no, that's the point. That was it. When that, you couldn't build them like that anymore now.
No. So they are, mate. You're right. They're the best seats in the house. Are you pissed off that the price has gone up? That you seem to have been penalised at our expense?
I just felt it was inevitable. I'm pissed off. Yeah, but you know, you've got to hit somebody. So hit those who supposedly, you know, the bloated plutocrats. Let's hit the those who supposedly can afford it. It doesn't occur to them that you might be mortgaging your left leg to pay for it. But there's such good seats that I intend to keep them for as long as I watch Chelsea. You know, seats, the one seat I've got. I share one with two other people, which we pay for. But no, so we expected it to go up, and we kept arguing, well, there's no European football, why would it? But then they need to improve the revenue stream somehow, so that not the one is sympathetic. You sort of get it. Who will they attack? Who will they go for? Right, well, they'll go for the corporate people. Even though large numbers of the corporate people aren't corporate, they're just people sitting. I share this wanting to sit in the best seats with a large number of people in that space in Aussies, who are not tourists, are not occasionals, are people who've been sitting there for over 35 years. When it was originally just seats that Bates, and it was Bates slowly but surely who made it into corporate. Originally, it was just a cafe selling wagon wheels, and as they did in that era, and really crap tea.
Did they have sherbet dim?
I think they did have sherbet dim tams as well.
What was that? What was that horrible fizzy drink that was advertised? It's frothy, man. Do you remember that? It was a polar bear.
Corona. Corona.
No, it wasn't Corona.
It was Corona.
It wasn't. I'm telling you now.
Unless... man. Oh, okay. Well, how much do you want to bet? I'll bet you a bottle of Corona.
It's frothy man, polar bear. It was Cresta.
Oh, fuck.
Cha-ching.
Crash and burn. Crash and burn.
I should have bet you something, but I wouldn't have taken you up on it.
Yeah, you wouldn't take money off an idiot. No, good man. The only other thing that worries me about the price, the price freezes, price rises. I mean, it is rather socialist, I have to say, by taking from the rich and giving to the poor. I don't think, Clayton, they've announced the prices for general admission for members yet, have they? But I bet you they go up. But hey, we don't know yet, do we?
We don't know. I think you know. Let's have the discussion as and when they do it. I think what Jonathan said is right. I think because they are perceived to be corporate tickets, then it doesn't hurt the corporate entity as much. But there is, I'd be quite interested to know the actual percentage of people. I suspect the West Stand is absolutely awash with corporate tickets, but less so where Jonathan sits. I mean, Jonathan, I've been lucky enough to have been to a couple of times, and the people are all fans. You know, that you basically, the people there all want to watch the game, don't they? All the people that sit around you are sort of invested in it.
They're permanent. They're the same people. Clayton.
Yeah, and it's not like they got the old Far Show picnic box open, is it? You know.
And they're not taking selfies of them.
Germany in the World Cup. It's not that. It's good. Yeah, no. So listen, I think they've done. I think you're right. I think had things gone differently this season, I think the prices might have gone up. But I think they're on a massive PR exercise at the moment, and I think that's going to happen or be for a while. And they couldn't have got things much worse than they have.
Well,
so we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Relegation would have been
talking of that. Oh, by the way, the Westview ticket prices have massively gone up too. But it has to be said that they were kept at the price they were last season, and there was a contract between those who sit at them, because it was a horrible thing last season. Suddenly they decided that they were not normal tickets anymore. They were kind of quasi-corporate, and you were all going to have to pay, like, you know, $3,000. I don't know what the figures are exactly, but like $3,000 instead of like $1,000 to sit there. And everybody went mad, especially the trust, and they agreed to I think, keep the prices as they were on the basis that they would definitely increase it to that this year. So you kind of knew that was going to happen. I feel for you, because I think I know a lot of people who basically had to give up their season ticket because they couldn't afford an increase. So anyway, let's leave that rabbit hole alone for now. I think that we should be grateful that they haven't increased the general admission season ticket prices. So thank you, Mr. Bowley. Now, talking of which, apparently he's hiring a new they said CEO, but I don't think they mean that. It's a head of commercial, really, which is interesting because Tom Glick, who used to do the same kind of job at Man City and then went to Derby and then was brought in as some sort of an expert, will be demoted by this new hire, whose name I can't remember, and I didn't write it down. But this guy is from the Clear Lake Group, and so he's being parachuted in. I just found that interesting. And I mean, whoever they hire is entirely up to them. I've got no beef with that. It just made me... Well, something occurred to me, actually, and... I don't know. I mean, it's no different from Roman, really. But I'm just kind of curious about how this Clear Lake thing works, really. I mean, is it just Todd Bowley who runs the whole shebang? I mean, I know Egbali's involved as well. I'm just a little bit unclear what the involvement with Clear Lake is, and I wonder whether we should be worried about that or not. What do you think, JK?
He was involved with Derby, this guy, I remember reading. He was...
Okay.
No, I thought the new guy was as well. I read 2006. Yes, it's all a bit impenetrable. I'm just worried that there are so many people now having to make the decisions. But particularly if Pochettino comes in and demands that a couple of his team selection, his scouts or whatever they are, the digital gurus that he employed, if they have to be in place as well, what happens? There'll now be six of them, won't there? Because we haven't got rid of any of the what do you call them, the panjandrums that came from Brighton, any of that lot. They're still in situ, and apparently they're supposed to have been negotiating his contract. I just find it weird that there's now a possibly non-football man involved, but somebody correct me.
I don't think he's there to do anything with the football. I don't think he's going to be the CEO. I read something that says basically he's going to be like the chief of the commercial operation. And I think given that the club or Bowley came in saying we can, what does he say, something like £10 billion or something? You know, we can make a lot of money on the commercial side because the club have been very poor at exploiting that. So I can understand if he's hiring people in those roles. I mean, they've got more than enough football people there because they've got bloody Win Stanley, Vivek and Stewart and probably other people too. So, I mean, look, I just hope, we've all said repeatedly that Clear Lake are passing on and hiring people to deal with the football side and leave them to deal with the commercial side. And I think that would be it.
Aren't they looking for another director of football?
Well, yeah, if Michael Edwards becomes available, I think they'd have him like a shot because he's supposed to be the best in the business. And then there's this other guy who...
The guy that's apparently coming in is gonna be above.
That's right.
Click. Apparently, and he's at Clear Lake, and I think the point is that the point is that this summer's really, really important because our sponsorship deal is going to be renegotiated, and I know there's been rumours about who's going to do it. Maybe they just don't think Glick's up to it. Maybe they think that, you know, it needs somebody different, somebody more business than what have you. I also wonder whether Bowley's going to step down from... Maybe Bowley's been trying to do that as well as trying to do everything else and manage the team and, you know, run the catering or what have you. Maybe he is taking on board what's being said and just sort of stepping away a little bit. I don't know. I think, listen, you have to trust them. They've spent an absolute shed load of money, and I cannot, and I've said this time and time again, I cannot believe that they're in this to fail. This is a hedge fund. They don't do things like that. And they're in for the long run. They've signed up for 10 years. They will find ways of making money. And the best way of making money with a football team
absolutely
is to be
successful. Good point, Clayton. I've got one final comment to make, which does relate to JK. Leaf says, fuck me, we need to start an OnlyFans for JK. As long as it doesn't involve him getting his kit off, I'm all for that, Leaf. I know, that's what worries me.
I don't mind if I have to get my kit off.
On that bizarre note. Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
We shall move on. We're going to be back in a minute for part two, where we're going to be previewing the Chelsea versus Nottingham Forest match, which is our penultimate home game. When you follow a big team like Chelsea, one of the most frustrating things is not being able to get a ticket for the match, especially when it's away and not live on TV in the UK. What can you do? Get updates from your mates? Follow online commentary? Listen to the radio? Let's face it, it's not the same as actually watching the match live, is it? NordVPN have the solution to every football supporter's match day problems when they can't watch the match live. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords. It's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back. This is the Chelsea Fancast, the Friday night preview show, and I am Stanford Chidge, and I'm joined by the very knowledgeable and rather lovely Jonathan Kidd. I'm fine.
Hello,
mate.
All right.
Lovely, lovely jubbly. And we've also got the housewife's choice, Mr. Clayton Bierman. Lovely to see you, mate, as always. Right. We know what comes next, don't we, JK? One of the great moments in broadcasting, mate. I know you do.
Yeah, I really look forward to, because
it's a bit like that, isn't it? Actually, funny little graphic you get from Sports Studio, lineup 11. The check will be in the post, no doubt. Right. You will not be surprised to learn, JK, that not a lot has changed from last week or indeed the week before. So it is Kepa in goal, Chaloba on the as a right back, Badiashile as a centre back, Silva, the lovely Thiago Silva as the other centre back, and I am selecting Lewis Hall. I love Dave, but I don't want to see him starting as a left back.
Yes. Is Cook still injured?
Yes, he's out. So it's between Aspie and Lewis Hall. And I'm going for Hall. In the midfield, Conte, Fernandez, Gallagher. Same as last week. They did brilliantly. I'd like to see them stay. Up front, Madueke, Mudrik and Havertz. Again, did brilliantly. I'd like to keep it that way. Now, I know that Sterling actually did something useful as opposed to useless. And I know that Felix scored a really good goal, actually. Proper finish. First time, lovely, beautiful goal. I know all of that, but I'd still rather start with Mudrik and Madueke and Havertz. So there we go. There endeth the lesson, JK.
I think Frank would be foolish to select any other team, Chidge. And I hope he's tuned in now and is making notes, because that is exactly what we should be doing. That, and Hall should play indeed instead of well, there's no one else, is there? So it will be Hall. I can't see. Why would you not pick essentially the same side as the one that played so much better against Bournemouth? And the Mudrik and Madueke combination is should have been playing much earlier in the season. And Havertz, for all his airy fairy, who look, I'm smoking a cigar football, should actually play again, because unless he plays a false nine and puts Sterling on, who, despite his actually running very fast past people and passing to Felix, who scored well, should not be selected in that setup. By all means, bring him on as a sub and let's see if he does something. The same with Ziyech. Bring Ziyech on. If he plays as well as he did for that cameo, that confused the hell out of us, but he was good. So I would pick that team that you've selected, Chidge. Frank should pick that side, whether Frank does. I mean, it would be madness not to. He has to continue with Mudrik and Madueke, just because they were. Madueke was a delight. The fact that he takes people on and beats them. Oh, my goodness me. How we want that. So they got whoever the stats people who bought him were right. He is indeed your man, and he can only get better. His crossing, however, and his shooting at the moment
poor decision making, rubbish, I think.
You've got to tell him, just lay it back to the edge of the area where everybody appears to be running in. And Connor had a great game. The header was great, was really out of the blue, but he was everywhere, Connor. And he almost led. He started off by just almost getting himself booked as normal by rushing at somebody and late tackling them from the very beginning. And I just think, well, if that sets the tone for the amount of energy required, come
get your
on,
late tackles in
keep
early.
Playing him, he's yeah, and Conte was terrific as well. His centre for Connor, he was the Conte of old, and he wasn't playing right wing or centre forward. For God's sake, Frank! I suppose the answer is, if you've got the two wingers in front of him, he's not going to want to play up there. Mudrik is still a bit raw, but his speed is fantastic, and he moves. One of his ploys he seems to do a lot of is just getting the ball on his left foot and moving into the centre and then spraying it to the wing or playing somebody in. And he does it so quickly that, let's have more of that. It obviously made Fernandez play better.
I think personally, what worked for me on that team was that the midfield was more balanced. I know Enzo's not a holding midfielder, balanced. Really, but he did a good job doing it. You got
But he's got people to play in.
Connor was more advanced. Kante was just doing what Kante does, and it just really worked very well, I think.
Yeah. But as I say, I said before, and hats off to Trevor Chalobah, had a really terrific game against Bournemouth. Really muscular. He looked strangely, if he'd been in the gym for a bit, he just looked a little bit more aggressive and competitive. I was really impressed.
What say you, Clayton?
Yeah, no, I can't argue with anything that you've put in that team. I think that is a team that should play. I thought they had their moments last week. I thought they looked better than they have done. And it was, you know, I like everybody else. I mean, I wasn't at the ground like Jonathan. I was baffled when Sterling came on and when Hakim came on, and they both played really, really well. I mean, this is the penultimate frustration, or not penultimate, the ultimate frustration, isn't it? We know how good these guys can be, and yet they just flatter to deceive. I mean, I sort of just mind cast back to the goal that Ziyech scored against Spurs at home. How many people in the Premier League could score a goal like that? Very, very few. So what does it take to ignite Ziyech? I mean, I think it's too late now. I think he's going to move on. And that's fair enough. Maybe he just doesn't suit the Premier League. But you look at him in the World Cup, and when do we see that player? Exactly. We don't. You know, it's a very, very strange and frustrating, you know, position. I mean, I don't know how badly Pulisic's injury in the cup final affected him, but he pulled a hamstring. He did a really bad, you know, bad injury. But thousands of footballers have pulled hamstrings, yet Pulisic is another one that flatters to deceive. We know how good he can be when he plays for America. Looks fantastic. When he's played for us, he looks half the player. It's got to be down to the management. It really does. And it speaks volumes that none of these guys have been able to get a tune out of some really, really talented players. I mean, you know, one of the statements, and I'm going completely off piste as far as your lineup's concerned. One of the things that is very frustrating is when they talk about Pochettino coming in. You know, everybody says, well, why wouldn't he come in? They've got a marvellous squad. Well, if we've got such an effing marvellous squad, what are we doing at 12th position in the league?
Well, I mean, you know, look, Paul Crowder, who, as we know, doesn't hold back, said all these players that you're talking about all have major issues with the decision-making. I think he's talking about Mudryk and Madueke, actually. Very, very raw. A lot of improvements needed. But I think, Paul, to be fair, that's the point. I mean, they are very raw. They are very young. And their decision-making won't be what you need it to be yet. But I'd rather have them playing than people that we know have let us down time and time and time again. Ziyech, Sterling thus far this season, Pulisic. You know, that's the point I think we're making, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the point is with those players is that we haven't bought ready-made players. We've bought potential. You know, as far as Mudrick's concerned, we paid well over the odds for Mudryk. We know that. But if in a season and a half or two seasons' time he's the next Arjen Robin, then are we going to care how much we paid for him? And the same goes for Mudryk. Mudryk, Madueke. Madueke looks even more raw, if that's a word or a phrase. So, you know, the one player that we bought, or two players I think that we bought who basically have fitted in, is Badiashile and Fernandes. And you could argue that when he's not injured, that Fofana. The defender, not the attacker, are also players that are, quotes, ready-made. But the rest of them, you can't expect them to be the finished article. I think the point is that I think that we've top-ended our spending because they thought we're going to do this, we're going to buy all these players. And I thought somebody like Fernandes we bought because we knew we weren't going to qualify for the Champions League, and had we waited till the end of the season, we probably wouldn't have got him. And I think that's what they've done. These players would be great if, for example, if you look back to any of our championship-winning sides, if you would have got a 2004-2005 Mourinho side, and instead of playing Robin one day, you play Mudryk, you would have seen a different Mudryk because he would have had a confident, experienced team around him. These guys have basically entered a shit show. And that doesn't help. They are potential. They need time. And unfortunately, they've come into the worst Chelsea team or the worst Chelsea position for 20 years. So they need to be given time. They need to be nurtured rather than dumped.
I think at the moment, what I like about them both playing is that he's playing two wingers, which means he can then play a proper midfield. And so they're not playing in each other's positions. Because we were playing Sterling, who didn't seem to know where he was or wasn't making any effort, Gallagher was almost trying too hard and was almost playing in his position. And similarly, we didn't have a right winger. So Kante was playing right wing. I felt that was what was happening within games. The very fact you've got these two people who aren't operating wonderfully, but sufficiently to actually give the team cement, a little bit more of cement positionally. You know, I think that's what's working for me at the moment. Yeah. But let's see what happens tomorrow, you know. So yeah. I'd like to see Mudryk score just because I think it would give him enormous confidence. I really have great hopes for Mudryk. One of the reasons being he's so quick. Yeah, it's quite remarkable. So, by the way, just to digress completely, I watched Inter Milan play Milan during the week and Lukaku came in, came on and was actually quite good. Yeah, fat boy, fat cement legs was good.
He's basically scored quite a few goals in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's much more mobile. See, and actually, when you look at him play for Milan, for Inter, it just confirms to me that he couldn't be fucked. He couldn't be bothered at Chelsea because the movement from him and the encouragement and the pointing and the playing a proper centre-forward role, coming up for the ball, playing it off, running into position, is nothing like he played.
They play
for
two up front, don't they, Inter? Somebody plays off him.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I was basically thinking if we're looking for a forward to buy in the summer, I think we should basically go for Martinez because Lukaku and Martinez play really well together. So,
yeah.
But whether Inter...
It's an option. Well, you wonder what if it is Pochettino, what he's going to do with it. I'm just intrigued that, yes, all right, he plays with off somebody, but even when he's playing down a channel, you know, and he's not playing with specifically with his strike partner, the movement and involvement was just so much more than anything.
Well,
he did
I have to be honest, I'd take a lot of convincing to have him back, but there is talk that, you know,
No, I'm not suggesting
intrigued,
he comes
back.
I was just in.
Well, they say that they say that he's still our player, so he'll come back. Certainly in pre-season, and I suspect Pochettino, being a new manager, will want to have a look at him. Unless, of course, Pochettino's already decided that, you know, he's a fat boy and can bugger off back to Italy. Oh, that's right.
He's watched the videos.
So not only did you not see Chelsea play last season, did you not see Inter play last season? You know, so there we go. We'll see. Anyway, moving on. Clayton, I had an absolute riot last Saturday at Bournemouth at the football, and it was a great atmosphere. You know, the team and Frank in particular got a really good send off at the end of the match, and they looked a different team for about 10 minutes up when they were banging those second and third goals in. And one thing we have been saying, because we've been absolutely flummoxed by how utterly shit they've been for most of the season. And of course, every time we talk to an ex-player, as we have done a lot, haven't we, JK, recently with all the Troubadour gigs, they all say this is a team devoid of confidence. When they get a win, we might see it change. So do you think that Chelsea's confidence may have returned in time for Forest on Saturday?
Nah.
No, I think it was a good win, and I think the one thing that was pleasing for me, and I wasn't there, I just watched it on some dodgy stream, is the reaction afterwards. I mean, if they just sort of strolled off and thought, okay, we won a game, but there were players who genuinely looked really, really happy. Fernandes was one of them. You know, I think that as a group, they want to do better. Now, that's not saying that I don't think that we'll win tomorrow. But I think it's tiny steps. And I think if Frank can build some team spirit going into the off-season, I think that'll be great. I mean, listen, it's very difficult to know. And we all have this naive dream that players give a shit, which, you know, it's a job. Some do more than others. You know, you look at the way Connor plays and you can tell that it means a lot to him. And who knows? Who knows? I mean, you can't think for 1 minute that Mudryk isn't sort of really, really frustrated at the way things have turned out so far. You know, he's a professional footballer. He wants to do well. He doesn't want to do well for us. I mean, I'm sure that's part of it, but he wants to do well for himself. So, I don't think we've turned a corner. I mean, we'll see tomorrow. We'll see, we'll see how we play tomorrow. I think one of the things in the press conference that was raised today was, you know, are the players scared of playing at home? Because we've lost so much at home.
Maybe we should sing tomorrow, "We Don't Hate You, We Don't Hate You, We Don't Hate You, because you're shit." Yeah, you know, that would help, wouldn't it?
That would be good.
At the final whistle, Frank hugged Fernandez for several minutes, for about a minute, and you know, put his arm around him and told him that he was — that's hugging, isn't it? Yeah, and told him that he was clearly that he played really well, because there was lots of nodding, and it was like a decent pep talk. So
maybe he was trying to recreate the Mourinho "I'm going to make you the best player in the world" thing. Maybe there's that involved, but I think it's great. You know, if you think about it, apart from the complete and utter lack of goals, the way Fernandez plays is very similar to the way Frank plays in sort of distributing and box to box.
It was interesting to see when they came over to applaud us, which they did. Everybody came over, I think, other than Felix.
He was probably running down the tunnel to go and look for a club playing in the Champions League next season. Wanker.
Yeah, apparently that's what I think he was doing. But what I love was the fact that amidst the, you know, super Frankie Lampard being sung, there were a couple of stalwarts who still couldn't bear the sight of Sterling, who were saying, fuck off Sterling, repeatedly while this was going on. Yes. And also that the few people who decided that Bowley was a Gareth, which rang out at the same time. There were mixed messages. No, there was isn't.
I wonder, no, JK, if Pep gives a good pep talk.
He's probably more guarded.
Listen, old Bean, what worries me about tomorrow is that Forest will be fighting for survival. Right? So they will be bang up for this. And you had your day out, fuck off homeland, isn't it? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, their last five matches are fascinating. I mean, they had that absolutely brilliant match. I think it was on Monday, wasn't it, when we were doing the show. They beat Southampton 4-3. They lost 2-1 to Brentford. They beat Brighton at home 3-1. Brighton, I think, have literally gone on the beach a bit recently. They only just lost to Liverpool away 3-2, and they lost at home to Man United. So they've been up and down, but they've been digging out wins. And what worries me more, JK, is the fact that because Chelsea did well last weekend and we won, we've got to the magic 42 points. So we are in no danger of going down. So maybe I'm worried that Chelsea might now be on the beach.
I have no doubt we'll just fold completely and lose about 4-0. You know, that'll be par for the course, really. But yeah, they'll be unbelievably fired up. They do rely heavily, though, on just booting the ball down the pitch and running after it. But, you know, 'twas ever thus. It's a question whether we Kante snuffs them out. My fear is the subs. My fear he'll take Kante off at 70. That appears to be the norm. And he'll make another strange substitution by bringing Sterling on. It's a question, a question of whether they perform as well as they did against Bournemouth. I think it'll go in. I actually think there'll be a lot of goals, and I think we'll score, but I think they may try and score. Obviously, they'll try and score more. What am I saying? I think they have the passion to really try and get ahead nonstop. I mean, I think every goal we score, they will battle. No heads will be going down with them. And they've got, you know, there's a kind of parallel with Chelsea, isn't there, that in that they just bought 30 players as well, didn't they? So Oh, obviously not as many as that, but in the end, I think both between the two, I think we had 66 players between us that they bought. So they've gone for a complete reconstruction, and some of the players they bought are really good, and some of them, it's a kind of, if you're not good enough to provide and get the results, you're out. You know, so somebody like Chris Wood that they bought from Newcastle hasn't been playing very much, hasn't been in, and
he's injured.
Oh, he's been injured.
Well, Danilo is the one to watch. I mean, if he scores on Saturday, he'd become the first Brazilian ever to score in four straight Premier League rounds.
The other one is that Johnson is a pretty good player. Where did he come from? All of them are just sort of have hardly played for.
And they've got that ex-Man United player, and they've got that ex-Wolves player who was really, you know, Gibbs White, is it, or something like that?
And Navas was a very good purchase.
Doesn't he?
Lingard doesn't get in. It's Brennan, isn't it? Brennan Johnson, who's a real handful. And Felipe's a very decent player as well. So they've got some decent players, you know, and they bought the other Ayu, and they bought the mad Shelvey, who is always likely to kick somebody up in the air, but occasionally has moments of immense competence. And Serge Aurier from Tottenham, who scored against us in the 1-1. I mean, the 1-1, we were frightful. Yeah. What a dreadful performance that was. They worked out after the first half that all they needed to do is, as I say, kick the ball out of the pitch and run after it. And we would just melt away. But yeah, so they've got, they'll fight. They'll fight and fight and fight. So it'll really be a very competitive game indeed. So any progress that we've been making will certainly
I think the point is that you're right. I think you're absolutely spot on. They will be bang up for it for us from minute one to minute 96 or whatever it ends up being. And if we are not at it even 5% off, we are going to come a cropper tomorrow, because we're going to need to match that commitment and intensity. And that is what worries me. I mean, the other thing is, I mean, you know, we, Clayton, I think, need to finish well. And I know we normally mean that in terms of actually finishing it, the move off and putting it in the net, which, of course, we still need to do. But I think we need to finish the season well. It was really interesting, actually. I was reading something this week and about Leicester when Nigel Pearson came in and they were going to get relegated. And he just about kept them up. But he kept them up and they pretty much won their last kind of six or seven games on the spin. And then they went on to win the title the next season. So, in other words, it's about momentum and confidence, and it carried on for them to the next season. So, you know, it would be... here's the thing. We've got a horrible run in. We've now got, after this match, we've got Man City away, Man United away, and Newcastle at home. This potentially, and you were alluding to this earlier on, you know, it could be our last winnable game. It could be Chelsea's last win this season. I hope it's not, because I would like us to really give City, United and Newcastle a reet go. But, you know, the way that we've been playing, this could be our last winnable game. And we're at home, Clayton. And our home form has been a horror show. Here we go. Right, if we win, it'll be for just the third time at home in the league this calendar year. We've won two, drawn three, lost five. You know, so, yeah.
But it feels like it. I can't remember the last time.
Palace and Leeds.
No,
Palace and Leeds. Those are the two wins. Leeds. Yeah.
Sort of quite spawny. Yeah. I remember, the Leeds game, we won 1-0, and I think it might have been with the London and Blue Boys, and we all went to the pub afterwards, and everybody was moaning about how awful it was and how awful we were.
I think he was 1-0, and then he tried to shut up shop, didn't he? Potter, and he just
That's exactly right. And then he did it the following week, wasn't it? We went 1-0 up with 30 minutes to go, and he sort of took off all the attackers. And he did that the following week. I can't remember where we were, but he did it twice. And it was just once. It was Everton, wasn't it? And he screwed that up because he took off and they scored right near the end. Sorry, I can't remember what the question was. Yes, we listen, I think if we win tomorrow, I think that I don't know what game's City. First. Is it City or United?
City.
Okay, well, City we can just write off. I mean,
and they're still planet. Needing to win to get the title.
Yeah, I mean, we'll do well to keep it under four. I mean, I think they are a fantastic side. They're the side that we should have been. They are the side that we would have been had Pep said yes to Roman. Although Roman probably would have sacked him after 18 months. Yeah, I mean, you can write that off. I think there's every chance that we can get something in Man United. Man United at home are very good, but they're not a particularly good team. And it'll be quite interesting because if Newcastle needs something from that last game of the season, you don't know the sort of pressure they'll be under. And you'd have to think that that squad of players had never been exposed to sort of having to get a result to get into the Champions League. So that, you know, so that there is a possibility in the all the games that we've got left, I think there is a possibility that we could do something at Man U, maybe just a point. And I think that, you know, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go 1-0 up against Newcastle and then time waste.
Foul them every opportunity. I mean, it's interesting, you know, if we beat Man United, we might do Newcastle a favour. Because United are 2 points behind them at the moment. I mean, I know that there's still they've both got four games left, so anything could happen in those games. But it could be that by beating United, we might help to secure Newcastle's top four final position. I mean, obviously, a lot also depends on Liverpool, of course, because they're on the march at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. I mean, as I said, you know, look, we need to be realistic. We are where we are, and there's a reason for it, because we've been dog shit for most of the season. So, you know, we are not going into the City, United or the Newcastle game in any way as favourites. But if we can beat Forest tomorrow and do it well, I mean, if we can look like Chelsea and make them look like Forest, you know, that would do the trick for me. Win, get all 3 points, go into City, not get hammered, give them a game. You know, who knows? I mean, it'd be lovely to beat United and Newcastle. And I just think that will give us some momentum. And, you know, we need it. We need to finish this season well, just for some positivity. It's been a fucking shit show this season. All of us want it to end. We've all had enough of it. So give us something to cheer. I mean, honestly, I'm just tapping back into last Saturday, JK. Just how unbelievably happy everybody was who was there. The joy that this stupid fucking football club gives you when it wins a game is ridiculous. But it matters. It makes a difference. So fucking win some football games. Send us away for the summer happy. Right, JK?
Yes, that would be the devoutly to be wished. But I fear that we have the ability to lose all of them. The way we've been playing, in the same way we actually thought there was a kind of false dawn after we beat Leicester, that somehow it was all going to be much better, and it just I think they decided then to get rid of Potter when they should have in fact got rid of him after the Southampton game, and that created more uncertainty. But yeah, let's see what how they react to the much better display against Bournemouth. But it's a real test, and as you say, City will put us to the sword. United would be interesting, and we being Chelsea, we might just pluck something out of the bag against Newcastle United. But once again, that, as you say, depends on what they're playing for, and what degree of shithousery Ernie Howe decides to play. I know that Havertz and what's his name. Their burn will come to blows at some stage because they did up at Tyneside, so and they don't like each other. He thinks he's clearly a
Burn is a dirty bastard.
That's the
northern dirty northern
very dirty bastard. Yeah, bastard.
We'll have dirty to be like northern that Geordie
dirty
bastard.
Northern bastard.
All right, better
Geordie bastard. But yeah, so I'm hoping that tomorrow is. Let's see a decent performance and let's see a win because, as you say, Chidge,
happiness
a win creates.
The other thing that we shouldn't forget, it would be really nice to end the season well.
Yeah.
To enhance Frank. Because Frank's actually come in on a hiding to nothing. And it would be just nice for him. It would be nice.
He might rescue his career as a consequence if they do that.
He might not rescue it, but he might actually come out with his reputation sort of not.
Well, I mean, you know, best case scenario, Clayton, he wins the next four matches, which means he would beat City, who nobody seems to be able to beat. He can beat United, who have had a better season than us, and he could beat Newcastle. That would be a good way for him to go out, and it would say he's not an idiot after all for many people, which I think would be welcome.
Yeah, I think it'd be great if we could do it for him, because I think he deserves it, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for coming in and doing what he's done.
I second that hugely. I have nothing but love for the man. I mean, yeah,
always. A great deal of love
so
for
there
Frank
bloody
Gitch.
Should be. He's our best ever player, without question, our best ever player. The other thing, of course, Frank has this in his own hands. If he picks the team that I picked, if he sticks with that team, you know, injuries aside, for the rest of the season, I think that will help him. Because the one thing we've not had all season is any consistency in selection. With all of these new players, you wonder, I mean, you know, we've seen it with our own eyes. Half of them, half of the time, look like they have no idea what to do because they're not used to playing with each other. So the number of times the ball, you know, gets passed to nobody in particular or short of the guy or too long for the guy or, you know, as I said, to nobody in particular. I mean, it's because they're not playing enough together. So, Frank, just pick this formation and pick this side. Hope you don't get any injuries, but pick this side for the rest of the season. And you know what? They might just gel because we know that they're decent players. They're not shit. We've seen shit Chelsea players, all three of us. This lot are not shit. You know, they're just, as Clayton was saying, poorly managed, bad circumstances, etc., etc., etc. So we shall see. Just to dot the I's and cross the T's, Forest haven't won at Stamford Bridge in the league since 1995. They're also utterly shit away from home. I think they've drawn one and lost 11. Seven straight Premier League losses. And also,
to be fair to them, they haven't been in the same division as us.
Yeah, but this season, mate, they've lost 11 away matches, seven of them on the bounce. That's not good. I do take your point. Obviously, we've not been in the same division. I mean, I can prove that. I've got the graphic. Do you want me to tell you? Well, I know that.
No, I know they've
basically
not been in the same
division. In all matches, we've won 40, drawn 29 and lost 26. But in the Premier League, okay, we've played them five times. And we've won two, drawn two, lost one. So, 1992... we drew 0-0. 1995, we lost 2-0. Forest were still, I mean, actually, they were pretty crap in those days. I think they were not short of going down. I think Clough was still manager, though. We lost 2-0. 96, we won 1-0. 96, we drew 1-1. And then 1998, we lost 2-1. And as Joey JK was pointing out, this will be the first time we've met them at home in the Premier League since then. So that's what, 25 years?
Yeah.
25 years.
Yeah. There we go.
25 years.
A lot younger then than I am today, but there we go. So, okay, guys, what is your predictions, please? Clayton?
I think we will win 2-1.
Okay. JK?
It'll be a gold fest.
Okay, well, I'm going to go 3-2, actually. I think maybe they've been more confident. Maybe a little bit of pressure might have gone off them because they've won. And I mean, I don't think they thought as much as we didn't really think that we'd get relegated. But maybe there was a little sense of panic. Maybe that will have been lifted. Maybe the pressure will have come off Frank a bit as well. But I think Forest will fight like fuck tomorrow. And I mean, if you watch the Southampton game, it was insane. I mean, they leak goals, Forrest, but they bloody score them too. Although Southampton's defence is a bit shonky. So it'll be interesting. I'm going to go balls out for a 3-2. You're going to go 3-all. JK?
Yeah. How many points have they got, Forrest? 39. Forest. We've got
30, they've got 33.
Something like that.
All right. Okay. They are, they're 3 points above the drop, aren't they? Everton have got 32. Leicester and Leeds have both got 30. So they need to win. They need something out of this game. I mean, I wonder if Steve Cooper will settle for a point, which might not be a bad result for them. I don't know who they've got left. But anyway, I think they'll fight like fuck. And if I'm Steve Cooper, I'm saying, come on, lads. They've been shit this season. They've got nothing to play for. Get into them from minute one. Put the bloody bejesus up them, and get ahead, because we know they find it hard to put the ball back in the back of the net. So anyway, I know Forrest do like to hit you on the break. So that's another concern. But anyway, Clayton's going 2-1. JK's going 3-3. I am going 3-2.
Real.
So there we go. We shall see.
They'll play a block, Chidge. They won't press. They'll play a block initially and then just...
Yeah, it does kind of question whether playing two wingers might work then, because they won't get much space. Maybe it is a game for fiddly players like Sterling and Felix. But I'd still pick Mudryk and Madueke. I think pick the players that you back and then back them. Right, okay, talking of being back, we will be back on Monday. Me and JK and the absolutely brilliant Martin Wickham at 7:30 p.m. on Monday evening. And guess what? We'll be looking back at the match against Nottingham Forest. In the meantime, I will be going tomorrow. I will be waving to Clayton in gate 16. You're in 16, aren't you? Yeah, I will be in gate 17. I'll be 16. Waving to Clayton in gate 16, but I can't quite see JK in the posh seats in East EM1, isn't it? Isn't it? Or is it EM2? EM3, maybe?
I've never EM4 found out.
Maybe.
I'm above the a letter, a specific letter on the.
I think he must be EM3 or 4. Because 1 and 2 would be nearer to me. No, either way, I can't bloody see you anyway. Right. Will I be seeing you in the cock, Clayton?
I don't know. Possibly. It's just that it's a real pain to get in tomorrow because obviously there's a rail strike. So I shall
it's
be
3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, I shall be bussing in. See you tomorrow. Maybe, yeah.
Maybe see you tomorrow too, JK.
If I get across early enough.
Yeah, I'm not going to make it until about half one, I think, because I've got stuff to do in the morning, I'm afraid. But I will be there, and I can't wait, because I'm really, really... Actually, I am honestly really looking forward to it tomorrow. Penultimate home match of the season. One more match after this to see my mates before we all bugger off in the summer. And we're going into it on the back of a win. I am therefore looking forward to it. I hope you all are too. And there we go. That's it from us. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, keep it chills. Up the chills!
Up the chills! Yeah! Hey, big boys! Yeah.
Hang on.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.